I don't know if, as you watch that, you go, yeah, okay, I can totally relate to that. Anytime I'm sitting around the dinner table, I start to get really nervous that someone's going to call on me to pray. Mark likes to say that anytime he's in the room, people always ask him to pray because he's a pastor and he's like a professional Christian. So no one else wants to like pray around him because he's got like the corner on the market on knowing how to pray. And I think, honestly, I think sometimes we feel like we have to use these like awkwardly large words. I mean, like, who used the words aptly laid smorgasbord? Like, no one has ever said that sentence before, ever. And poor Greg feels the need to say that as he's praying in front of these people that, I mean, let's be honest, if you haven't seen the movie Meet the Parents, the dad is not a fan of him already, and now he's butchering this prayer. So we're going to talk today about what prayer is and what it isn't. Even if maybe you don't feel that sort of like awkward tension, like, I have to use all these awkward words as I'm praying, these big words that I don't use any other time, words like sanctification and glorification and hallelujah, like somehow that makes God listen to us more. Our big idea for the day is that prayer is simply having a conversation with our dad. And we're going to talk about that idea of God as Father a little bit later. I know for some of us, that's a really easy easy comparison. And for some of us, that's a hard thing. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But the idea that you're just having a conversation with someone who wants to know you and who cares about you. But depending on the people that you talk to on a regular basis, this may or may not be a really good analogy for you, because you may talk to a lot of people who just don't ever listen to you. I don't know if you've got like terrible friends or what, but we've probably all been in that situation, right, where you're talking and you realize like, they're not listening to anything I'm saying, right? I'm just going on and on and on, and they're like in la-la land. If you don't know Josh Howard, you should meet him afterwards. Hopefully he'll listen to you. He is our creative arts and our worship director here at Movement, and Josh and I have been friends for a long time, and so we talk a lot, and most of the time, some of the time he listens to me, but there are a lot of times where I find myself having a conversation with him and he's just like not paying attention to me at all. There was a couple months ago, we were down in Florida, we were at a conference, a bunch of us from Movement, and we're riding in the van, this like 15 passenger van. So I'm sitting right in front of Josh, and so he's sitting behind me, sitting next to his friend Nathan, and Josh like, he like taps me on the shoulder and asks me a question, directs a question to me, right? Like, Sarah, da-da-da-da-da. And so I am responding to his question, and I haven't gotten more than like 3 words out of my mouth, and he's talking to somebody else. And Nathan is like, dude, seriously? You know, because it had already been the joke of the week, like, Josh never listens to anything I say, and that this time it was like really bad. A couple weeks ago, I was in here, I think it was after we were done, and I had climbed a ladder to break down the lights, I think. Sometimes they let me touch the lights, which is probably not a great idea, but I was trying to be helpful. So I'm on top of this ladder, and I'm talking to Josh. I'm asking him a question, because, you know, this stuff's really expensive. I'm asking him a question about something, taking something down, putting it away. Literally, as I'm talking to him from a ladder, he just walks right out the door. I looked around, and I said, Josh isn't in the room anymore, is he? And it's just like a big joke with everybody, right? Like, as soon as Sarah starts talking, Josh stops listening. So hopefully he'll be like way better with you if you meet him. Just you say his name a lot so that he knows that you're talking to him. Make a lot of eye contact. Hopefully that'll be helpful. But maybe you've got friends like that, people that you talk to and you go, I know that they're not listening to you. Maybe your friend is elbowing you right now because you're that friend, right? Like if you're like, everyone's always listening to me, then you're that guy. Okay, you're the guy that isn't listening to other people. So for some of us, conversation maybe has that connotation. And as we think about talking to God, you may have that same sort of picture in your head, right? That like, I'm talking to God, but he's not really listening to me. I'm talking to God, but I feel like my words aren't really getting past the ceiling. I'm talking to God, and maybe he's listening, but he's only listening because he has to. But he tolerates me, but he doesn't really want to be in a conversation with me. He doesn't really want to listen to me. The Bible has so much to say about prayer. And when Mark and I sat down and talked about this Sunday and this message, He said, the topic is prayer. And I'm like, that's it? It's prayer? You know, it's like saying, like, teach calculus in one math class. Like, that, it's impossible. Maybe some of you didn't take calculus. I was a math major in college. It took me 4 semesters to get through calculus. So trying to present all that there is to talk about prayer in one morning is a little bit overwhelming. So we're just going to focus in on a couple of things. We're going to look at some really familiar passages. First of all, we're going to look at why do we pray? And then we're going to look at how. Because really, I think these are the two big things that get in our way. Why do we pray? Why should I go to God in the first place? Why should I talk to him? And then once I'm convinced that it's important, how do I do it? Right? Because there are like people who actually write books of prayers that you can like sit down and read, or you can hear people memorize a prayer and then give it back. Like, is that what I have to do? Is that what I'm supposed to do to talk to God? Do I have to pray using these strange words? Or can I just have a conversation? So we're going to start with why, and then we're going to move to how. Since we're talking about prayer, it only seems appropriate that we take just a minute. Let's stop and pray, and then we'll turn the lights on, we'll get our Bibles out, and we'll look at some verses together. So pray with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you came and lived and died and came back to life, that you came to make a way for us to have a relationship with God the Father. And I thank you that you have given us the opportunity and the ability to come to you and to have a conversation with you, and that you listen and that you care about us. God, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that you would help us to understand it. I pray that you would speak, that you would communicate. God, anything that isn't your truth, I pray that it would fall away and that only your message would remain. Thanks for being such a good God who loves us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so first of all, I just want to give a short list, a couple things that prayer is not. First of all, prayer is not a grocery list. Sometimes I think that we can all fall into this habit, right? Like, well, if God's... Did I do that? No, okay. If God's all-powerful and I'm allowed to go to him and talk to him, then I'm just going to list off all of the stuff that I need, because I need a lot of stuff. And so I think that we start to fall into this pattern of, okay, God, as I'm falling asleep at night, here's the things that I need for tomorrow, and here's the things that I need in my family, and here are the things that I need in my job and in my finances. Here are all of the things that I need. Jesus' name, amen. And we kind of think of God as this genie who's there to just give us whatever we want and give us whatever we need. Now, God cares about our needs, absolutely. We're going to look at that in a minute. But going to God in prayer isn't just about reciting off a grocery list. If that's what we make it, our prayer lives are going to feel pretty empty. And prayer also, it's not a formula. We see that Jesus gives us some instructions on how to pray, but that Jesus continually reiterates this idea that it's about having a conversation. It's about being in a relationship. So it's not about using certain words. In fact, we're going to look at a passage where Jesus says, don't babble on and repeat the same words and phrases over and over and over again, which we can tend to do because it just feels like the right and the holy and the super godly thing to do, to use these certain words. God certainly must like the prayer of someone better who can use the right words than someone who just talks like a normal person. Even if we don't say that out loud, I think subconsciously we start to think that and to feel that way. And the reality is, God knows your thoughts anyways. So even if you're trying to sound way smarter than you actually are as you're praying out loud, God knows. God knows your heart and God knows your thoughts. It's not some magic formula. It's just a conversation. So if we don't just go to God to list off all of our needs, then why? Why do we talk to God in the first place? We're going to look at 3 different verses, and we actually have these on the screen because we're going to hop around, and then we're actually going to camp in one passage in Matthew. But for now, let's look at just a couple different verses. One of the reasons that we pray is because God invites us to. This is crazy, honestly, I think. I mean, if we think about the fact that God is the creator of everything, God is the creator of all that exists. He has existed eternally. He's so much bigger, so much greater, so much more powerful than we are. And yet, this verse tells us, this is from the book of Psalms, chapter 27, my heart has heard you say, David is talking to the Lord, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. We go to God not as these like petulant children who are bothering him, And sometimes that's the picture that I have in my head, that God must be so tired of me. He must be so tired of me coming to him over and over and over again with the same requests and confessing the same sins and the same brokenness and the same needs. But the reality is that God invites us, come and talk with me. He is a good father who wants to be in relationship with us. The second reason that we pray is because Jesus has made a way for us to be in relationship with God. This is so powerful. We could talk about this for a really long time, but we're just going to talk about it quickly. This is from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. What I love so much about these verses is right at the beginning. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. That's a reference back to the temple that was given to the people of Israel in the Old Testament was divided into sections. And the most holy place was where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Ark of the Covenant was where God's presence would come down and rest. The high priest, one man who was chosen, was the only one who was allowed to go into that room, and that was only once a year. And he had to go through all these rituals to clean himself before he went in there, because if there was still sin in his heart or in his life, when he walked into the presence of God, God would strike him dead immediately. In fact, they say that they would tie a rope around his ankle and put bells on the bottom of his robe so that they could hear if he stopped moving, because if he died, no one else was allowed to go in there. They just had to pull his body out by this rope, okay? This is what the writer of Hebrews is referring to. But now what we see is that we can boldly enter God's presence because of Jesus. Some of us understand really clearly that we're sinners. The reality is we all sin. We all do things wrong. We're all dirty. We're all broken. We're all messed up. None of us deserve to get to spend time with the God of the universe. But Jesus changed all of that. Because Jesus died, we can go into God's presence. What an awesome thing. And yet some of us, we don't want to take him up on it. Well, I don't feel like I can spend time with God. I don't feel like I'm good enough to spend time with God. I don't feel like God wants to hear from me. Those things are not true. God invites us, and Jesus died to make a way for us to be in God's presence. So we pray because we're invited, and we pray because Jesus made a way. And then lastly, we pray because it can move God's hand. This one is beyond crazy to me, okay? So in the book of Exodus, this is in the Old Testament, chapter 32, what's happening is the people of Israel have come out of the country of Egypt. They've been slaves. And they're wandering around in the wilderness, and Moses is their leader. He goes up on a mountain to meet with God, to talk to God about what God expects from the people of Israel. He's gone for a while. And while he's up there, the people of Israel start to get impatient, and they go, Moses must be dead, and he's not coming back, so we need a new God. Okay, literally, they've just come out of Egypt. God has done all of these plagues to free them from the people of Egypt. Then he parted the Red Sea, and they walked across the sea on dry land. Okay, so they've seen God do ridiculous things. All of a sudden, they've forgotten everything that God has done for them, and they say, we would rather worship a gold cow. Okay, so that's what they do. So they make this cow out of their jewelry, and they're dancing around, worshiping it, right? And so God says to Moses, hey, Moses, your people went nutso down there while they're waiting for you to come back down. And God gets angry that his people have forgotten who he is, angry that they're now beginning to worship someone else. And so what God says to Moses at the beginning of Exodus 32 is, I'm killing them all. I'm wiping out all of these people. I mean, we're talking, at this point, it's likely millions of people that he's talking about. God says, because they've forgotten me, they've chosen to worship a different God, I'm done with them. And in verse, I think it's verse 10, Moses begins to plead with God, and he says, no, you can't. You can't kill these people. The world is watching. You've saved them from Egypt. They are your people. They call on you. Everyone knows that. For your sake, preserve these people. And so verse 14 it's ridiculous to me. So the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. He doesn't do it. He doesn't wipe the people out. Because Moses prayed, God changed his course of action. I can't explain that. I can't. Is God sovereign and is he in control? Absolutely. Does God have the ability to do what he wants to do? Absolutely. But in this instance, we see Moses goes to God and he prays and God changes his mind. It's crazy. This is the same God that we talk to. This is the same God that we pray to. So we pray because God invites us. We pray because Jesus died so that we had the opportunity to do it. And we pray because it changes things. There is power in our prayers. So then how? How do we do it? This seems, I don't know about you, as I'm studying, this seems pretty convincing to me. I don't know why I wouldn't want to pray if these things are really true. But how do we do it? Go ahead and take your Bibles out if you don't have one. There's one in one of the chairs underneath you, one of the chairs right around you. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Guys, can you turn the lights on? Are we good? The lights are on as high as we're turning them on. I don't know anything about the lights. I don't know why they let me touch anything. I have no idea. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 5. This is the section called the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus preaches for a while. Matthew records it for us, and he talks about all kinds of things, from sex to money to relationships. He talks about all kinds of things, and this teaching on prayer is just kind of wedged right in the middle of it. So in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, this is what Jesus says. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues, where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered by merely repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. From this passage, we get kind of a basic idea of how we should pray. Now, again, there are lots of other passages about prayer in the Bible. This one gives us the basics, so this is where we're going to stay today. I'm going to give you four basic things about how we pray. First of all, like we said, our big idea is that prayer is just having a conversation with our dad. And so when we pray, we're just conversing with our Father. Again, for some of us, this is a really easy analogy because you've had an awesome dad, a dad who loves you, a dad who loves the Lord, a dad who cares for you, wants to spend time with you. But I know that in this room, there are probably a lot of us who don't have a great relationship with our dads, or maybe don't have a relationship with your dad at all. In no way do I mean to make light of that. I genuinely don't. But the reality is that throughout Scripture, we see that God often refers to himself as our Father. In fact, that's one of the reasons that he decided to give us families. That's why he created it to work that way. Because in having a family, in having a father, it gives us a picture of the way that God loves us. I know that none of us have perfect dads. Even those of us who have great dads, they're not perfect, right? We've all been let down by our dads. We've all been disappointed by our dads. Some of us have been abandoned by our fathers. And what we tend to do then is we take those things that exist in our relationship with our earthly father and we project them onto our heavenly father. Since my dad failed me this way, then God is going to do the same thing. Since my dad doesn't want to listen to me, then neither does God. Since my dad walked away when things got hard, God's going to do the same thing. We come to the Lord with baggage. And again, in no way do I mean to make light of that. But the truth is, the reality is, that God is a perfect father. And so in every way that our dads have let us down, God will fulfill that perfectly, right? In every way that our dads haven't been there, have failed us, have abandoned us, have walked away from us, in that same situation, God stands firm. God doesn't move. And so as you think about your relationship with your dad and you think, man, when things were difficult and when crap hit the fan, he wasn't there for me. The way that you wanted him to be there for you, God is that. He is there. The things that we desire from our earthly dads, our heavenly Father fulfills that perfectly every single time. It is a beautiful thing that God says, I am your dad. I am your father. I love you in a way that no earthly father ever could. So when you come to me and call me dad. And so that leads us right into the second thing. Not only is prayer a conversation with our father, but it's also respectful, but it's not formal. So again, I don't know how you relate to your dad. My dad and I have a pretty good relationship. But I wouldn't just like walk up to my dad and be like, yo, dad, fix my muffler. I'm out, right? And like, if that was like, also because I'm not like super, that's not how I talk, right? I don't like talk like super ghetto all the time like that. But if I just like was like, I walked into the room and I bossed him around and then I walked back out. Now, my dad is like really gracious and very humble. And so he would probably be like, well, her muffler's broken, so I'll fix it, right? He would probably do for me what needed to be done. But we wouldn't have a great relationship, right? So even though I don't have a formal relationship with my dad, I don't walk up to him and say, like, I beseech thee, O Father, to please repair my insubordinate muffler. I don't know, right? Like, I don't talk to my dad that way, but I also don't just boss him around like he's like my bro, okay? Well, there's a respectful relationship, but it's not formal. And we see that Jesus instructs us in the same way. He says, our Father, whose name is holy, may your will be done. He recognizes that God is a holy God who has the power to do whatever he wants to do. So we approach God with respect, not like he's our homeboy. Okay, there used to be these t-shirts that said, Jesus is my homeboy. I don't know if they still make those. Okay, God's not our homeboy, but he wants us to come to him as a child comes to a father. So it's with respect, but it's not formal. Thirdly, we come to God and we're honest about our needs. We already said that God, he's not a genie, okay? So I don't just like show up and I list off all the things I need and then I'm like, see ya. Because again, to return to the father analogy, if the only time I ever talked to my dad was to say like, dad, I need money, I need a new car, I need you to pay off my school bill, and I need you to, right? And I just listed all these things off and that was the only conversation that my dad and I ever had. Even if my dad did those things for me, our relationship is pretty terrible, right? Like I just see my dad as a checking account, not as a man to have a relationship with, a father to be in relationship with. Prayer is about honestly bringing our needs before the Lord because he wants to be in relationship with us. Here's the crazy thing. God already knows what all your needs are. Jesus says that in verse 8. You don't come to him and tell him things that he doesn't already know. He already knows all of your needs, okay? So I have had students say to me, I teach 10th grade Bible, and so I've had students say to me, then why do I pray? Like if God already knows everything, he knows what I think, he sees everything that I do, he knows how I feel, he knows what I need, then what's the point? And as I think about that, I think about the people that I'm closest to in my life. So just think about whoever those people are, you probably have a handful. People that are just like the closest to you. So hopefully if you're married, your spouse is on that list. Maybe your roommates, some other friends, someone that you're dating. The people that are the closest to you in your life, the people that you really love and have a relationship with, they're the people that you want to call and talk to about everything that goes on, right? Even if they can't fix the situation, even if they have no wisdom to offer, like when the best things or the worst things happen in your life, there are probably a couple of people that you go, I just need to call them and tell them about it. Because they're the people that are going to get excited with you when things are really awesome. They will cry with you when things are really crappy. Maybe they'll be able to help, but even if they can't, you just want them to be involved in your life because you're in relationship with each other. God is the same way. The reason that we pray is to deepen our relationship with him. I don't go to him with my needs because I have to inform him of something that he doesn't already know. I go to him with my needs in part because it deepens my relationship with him. Now, the thing about God as our Father hearing our needs is, like we've already seen, sometimes it moves his hand. Sometimes we pray about things and God responds. I love Mark and Kristen's story about the way that they got mercy and the way that it was like being kind of a part of that and being there the night before, as Kristen is saying, like, I just don't know, and like, I don't know where God is, and I can't hear his voice. And then literally, I'm driving home from school the next day, and I get a call from her, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, we're going to pick up our daughter. I'm like, oh, okay, so God really answered that prayer, like, really quickly, you know? So awesome. And sometimes when we pray, that's how God responds, immediately. And sometimes, and I know that some, if not all of us, have experienced this, we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and it feels like God is just not listening. What I forget sometimes is that God has the ability to see the whole picture. And so again, for those of you who are parents, I think that you can really relate to this, especially if you're parents of little ones. I'm guessing that your children have probably come up to you maybe late at night and said, can I eat 6 cookies, right? And you're like, well, no, because you're getting ready to go to bed, and if you eat 6 cookies right before you go to bed, you'll get a bunch of cavities, okay? Your kids may ask you for things that they're not necessarily bad things, but it's bad timing, you know? Like, maybe tomorrow you can have 1 cookie, but we probably won't eat the entire bag of Oreos together. That's not a good idea, okay? If you let your kids do that, you're maybe not a great parent, at least not for their teeth, okay? So, as a good parent, you know when to say yes, you know when to say no, and you know when to say, you know what, we're going to hold off on this, maybe later. God the Father does the same thing, because he's got the big picture. Believe it or not, he knows more than we do. He's got the big picture. And so he knows when to say yes, he knows when to say no, and he knows when to say, we just need to hold on. I know that it's hard to have unanswered prayer. But we have to believe that God is who he says he is, and that God is a loving father who's going to be faithful. And lastly, prayer is a conversation. And hopefully you've got friends who listen to you. Josh listens sometimes. Hopefully you've got friends who listen to you. And so what that means is that we talk to him, but that God also wants to talk to us. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he wants to lead you and guide you. God also speaks to us through his word. And so as you pray about things and then you read God's word, expect God to answer. Expect God to give you those things. Sometimes I think we don't hear God because we don't take the time to stop and listen. Again, I feel like we blew through all this information so quickly because there's so much to say about what prayer is and about how we pray. But I think that we would be missing the point if we didn't stop now and take time to pray. So we're going to do something a little bit differently this morning that may make some of us feel uncomfortable, but that's okay. We're family here. You guys were all singing awkward one-hit wonders together, so I feel like we bonded in that moment. Some of you, as you're in here this morning, you know that there are things that you need prayer for, things that burden your heart, difficult situations that you're going through. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's health, maybe it's finances, maybe it's family things, maybe it's job things. Maybe you just listen to this and you go, you know what? I don't talk to God ever, and I need my relationship with him to be better. Maybe you hear this and you go, I don't even have a relationship with this God that you're talking about. I don't know anything about this heavenly Father that you're talking about. I need prayer for that. There are, we have some people that, if you guys can stand up now and just kind of move to the sides. These people are, they're leaders at Movement in all different ways. And they pray for you on a consistent basis already. They pray for you about all kinds of different things. And if you would like prayer now, you can just stand up and go to one of these people and they'll pray for you. You can be as open as you want to be. You can tell them, you know, specifics of what you need prayer for, or you can just say, I just need you to pray over me in general. And they would love to do that for you. Again, I know no one wants to be the first person to stand up and move because it's uncomfortable. Krista's just going to play a little bit of music for us in the background. We're just going to take a couple minutes to do this. If you don't feel like you need prayer for anything in particular, if you'll just sit in your seats and take a couple minutes to talk to this God who refers to himself as our Father, take time to talk to him, and please don't be afraid to stand up and to ask people to pray for you if you would like.